This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we are on a Thursday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I was nervous watching the fourth quarter last night. The intensity, the desperation was fantastic. 1 hour from now, yesterday I delivered my AFC predictions. Today I deliver my NFC predictions. A lot more drama, a lot more questions in the NFC, where the AFC has really dominant teams at the top in their division. Buffalo, Kansas City, Colts. Joy Taylor is joining me. Yeah, that last night is, you know, between the home run derby and the intensity and the All-Star game and the NBA Finals, not only do we miss sports, athletes miss the fans. Like the fans last night, that building is shaking. The fans are totally into it. The teams are totally into it. I loved how much that game mattered to the Milwaukee Bucks last night.
You know, I don't think we will ever not appreciate a rocking building again. Because I thought the Phoenix fans showed out all throughout the playoffs, but the Bucks are giving them a run for their money. And that Deer District thing.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's not for me. Way too many people. But I'm sure for everyone there, it's a good time.
Well, it was a great game last night. So listen, this is what happens. This is what American sportscasters do. Whoever wins the game, that team's great and their team stinks. I still like Phoenix in the series. Chris Paul played his worst game, and they led by 7 with about 8 minutes to go, and that's with one guy actually hitting shots for the entire roster, Devin Booker. But I think what you're seeing, what I witnessed last night, here's what I witnessed. Ever since the Milwaukee Bucks put Drew Holiday on Chris Paul, it's felt different for Chris Paul. Drew Holiday is big. He is 6'3", 205 pounds. He is big and he's physical. Chris Paul is barely 6 feet tall and 175 pounds. And his production has fallen off a cliff over the last three games. 23 points to 19 points to 10 points. And in those games, he's got 15 turnovers in the last three games. Big, physical, strong Drew Holiday on Chris Paul is showing Chris Paul's age. And we told you a week ago, the Bucks are the older, bigger, stronger, more physical team. If this was in an octagon, it would not last a round. They're starting to wear down the finesse, the thin, the quick, the younger Phoenix Suns. Now remember, Chris Paul did not play for a couple of games in that Clippers series, right? The COVID protocol. So he came into this series fresh, energized, rested, and the Bucks then decided to put Drew Holiday on him, who's a big, physical, tough guy who plays defense, and Chris Paul looked old last night. We'll get into that more in about 15 minutes. But what you're seeing is the classic NBA chess match. A big, physical team with mostly one shooter, Chris Middleton, you trust, against a young, athletic, finesse team, Phoenix, with a lot of shooters, although only one hit last night. And what's critical here is in the NBA history, the 40 years I've been watching, old teams beat young teams, almost always. Even that Warriors team, which we consider young, you know, Steph was only in year six, and Klay was young, and Draymond was young. Andre Iguodala won an MVP. Remember that? Old Andre Iguodala. And Kevin Durant's got some years on him. So even when you have a young team, veteran players are so crucial. Why? Because when you get late into games and late into series, it's decision-making time. And the young kids get tight. Remember Phoenix against the Clippers? Remember they led 3-1 in that series, went back home to Phoenix? How tight Phoenix was? Now, they won the series. That moment, that night, it was too much. They just were. And last night, Phoenix was great until about 3 minutes to go. And Phoenix got sloppy and a little tight. This is part of the process. So NBA history tells you the old guys beat the young guys. Last year in the bubble, we remarked that it was the only time in my life I'd ever seen old teams peeling off and young teams flourishing, but that was explainable. The bubble had all these old veteran guys away from their kids and families getting depressed. Many players acknowledged that, and the young teams loved it because they were just going and playing video games. It's like AAU basketball, playing hoop, going back to their room. They didn't have the big families. They didn't have a lot of kids. So last year was a weird playoff year. The kids beat the old guys until LeBron and AD won the finals. Miami's a bunch of kids. And then Miami essentially this year reverts back to what happens to the young teams. They're hot and cold, up and down. So the history tells you Milwaukee should win this series. But I think Phoenix is a better team. I think Phoenix is going home. I think this morning, it depends on what fan base you are. If you're Milwaukee's fan base, this morning you're thinking, we're wearing these guys out and we figured them out. And this morning, if you're a Phoenix fan base, you're thinking to yourself, hell, we were up by 7, and one guy on the entire roster was hitting shots. And that's what I believe. I think Phoenix was up 2-1. They were up by 7 points last night. One guy, Devin Booker, was playing well, and Chris Paul was to be awful. It was the worst playoff game he's played. The other thing with Phoenix is they've only got two veterans here, Chris Paul and Jay Crowder. Crowder couldn't shoot last night, although I thought he played well. He couldn't shoot, and Chris Paul was terrible. Phoenix is going to have a hard time beating Milwaukee and winning this championship. They're good. Now, Crowder played well but didn't hit his shots. Chris and Jay Crowder need to be really good in these key spots. You cannot rely on kids. This is not the way the league works. Everybody gets tight. And you start looking at that Bucks roster, and Brooke Lopez been in this league over 10 years. Giannis 8, Middleton 8. They're old. They have been through a lot of war. I mean, Giannis and Middleton have been playing together for how many years? 7-8 years? So, I will tell you this. Suns had 17 turnovers. Bucks had 5. I do not think that'll happen again. But we have to be fair here. A lot of those turnovers is because the Suns are fatigued from the Bucks leaning on them. And frankly, the Bucks are physical. And you turn the ball over when people pressurize you and push you and make you uncomfortable. So we've got a chess match. The last 4 minutes, the veteran team that trailed all night, you know, they were behind and they're playing catch up. The veteran team jumped over the young team because that's what veteran teams do at home in big spots. I still like Phoenix, but Chris Paul, the pressure officially on his shoulders. Here's Chris.
Yeah, I have 5 of them. You know what I mean? It was bad decision making. They got, you know, a significant amount more shots than us. And so, you know, for me, I got to take care of the ball. If we got 17 turnovers, we shoot the ball too well not to have those opportunities to score.
All right. I still like the Suns, but I think in 7, not 6. All right. We've been talking a lot about the Aaron Rodgers situation. And as we've said before, he's going to play this year. What are his options? Hold out and lose a small fortune or play? A.J. Hawk's his friend. A.J. Hawk recently spent a week with Aaron Rodgers in Montana. This has been the summer of Aaron. Aaron's just doing his own thing. Nothing wrong with that. Totally defend him. I think it's good for his mental health. He's gotten away. He's been frustrated. So he hung out with A.J. Hawk. And A.J. Hawk continues to believe Aaron's coming back soon.
He likes to compete. Does that look like a guy that's going to sit out and retire to you? Aaron looks great. He seems mentally in a good spot. What have I said from the start? I said, I don't see him playing anywhere else. That's what I said, right?
Mm-hmm. Day one, you said that.
Yeah, I said, I don't see Green Bay trading him. I don't see that happening. I don't know how it has to work. But, yeah, I still feel like he's going to be in Green Bay.
You know, Aaron's a smart, thoughtful guy. High IQ, pretty high EQ, it appears. I don't know him. Would it kill him to just once admit, I'm a little difficult. I'm a little needy. You all realize the Jordan Love pick made him upset, but 8 years ago, he had teammates and family members calling him out. Remember years ago when he would do Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football and he wouldn't mention his alma mater, Cal? He would mention his junior college? I was told, and people believe inside the building at Cal, it was because Cal fired Jeff Tedford 7 years after Aaron left. 7 years. Like, coaches get fired. 7 years after Aaron left, they fired him. He held a grudge. Now, I can't prove that. There's a story about it I read this morning. But, like, let's not just make this out to be the Jordan Love pick is what set him off. Aaron's been set off for years. He's been difficult for years. Just once, I wish he took that high-powered intellect, that high-powered radar, and turned it on himself. Does everybody realize since Aaron Rodgers took over as a starting quarterback, Green Bay has given him 8 players who have been Pro Bowlers on the offensive line, tops in the NFL. He's been given 2 offensive coaches. He's always had a star receiver, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, now Devontae Adams, maybe the best receiver in the league. He's got a star running back. Yes, Green Bay can be stuck in its ways. Aren't we all a little? Yes, they can be a little rigid on free agency. Aaron's not rigid. I'm not rigid. Let's not make this about an abusive relationship. I will defend to the end, and I have, quarterbacks who are treated poorly. Matt Stafford, 12 years of dysfunction in Detroit. I'll defend him. Andrew Luck, his first general manager, lost. I defended him. Like, I'll defend that guy. Carson Wentz, I've defended. It appears, although I didn't know it initially, the owner, the GM, the coach, it was a mess in Philadelphia. I spend a lot of days defending quarterbacks who are having to overcome dysfunction. Carson Wentz, Andrew Luck, Matt Stafford. Green Bay is highly functional. 8 Pro Bowlers or all pros on the offensive line. The number one ally of a quarterback since Aaron started playing. I'm not even counting the first few years where he sat in the bench behind Brett Favre. They've given him number one receivers. They've given him offensive coaches. They're always, you know, and they've paid him top of the market. Unlike Brady, he's not taking pay cuts here. He's always paid top of the market. There is a lot of dysfunction in this league. Green Bay's not dysfunctional. They're limited because most pro athletes don't want to live in a tiny, tiny town when you can live in Philadelphia or Los Angeles or Dallas or Atlanta as a single pro athlete. But that's not really their fault. It's just the Packers' reality. But do we all believe if Aaron went to another franchise, he'd suddenly be Mr. Optimistic, Mr. Positivity? We got to be fair here. As smart and as thoughtful as Aaron Rodgers is, could he just once turn that high-powered perception on himself and go, I'm not the easiest guy to get along with. I'll defend Carson Palmer, Matt Stafford. I'll defend these guys in bad situations. That's not the Green Bay situation. And the Jordan Love pick, I said it when they did it. I probably wouldn't have done it, but Bill Belichick drafted like 8 quarterbacks, some in the second round during Tom Brady's tenure, even when Tom was still in his prime, even when Tom was young. I mean, you got to have backups. You got to have quarterbacks. Aaron was 35. Aaron had been hurt a couple of times. Aaron could be difficult. But we just one time, once, that's all I'm asking, not twice, 3, 4, 5 times. Aaron's not the easiest guy either. Not saying I am. Not saying everybody is. But let's put this in context. This is not a highly dysfunctional organization, nor was the Jordan Love pick the first time Aaron had been difficult.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's Angi.com. Or download the app today. This is something we have talked about on this show for the last 3 weeks. Everybody is fawning over Chris Paul, who I had as league MVP. He, Steph Curry, I thought were remarkable, right? Jokic in Denver. But 4 years? No. 3 years? I'm not happy. 2 years? I'd say okay. In that Devin Booker is great and getting better. DeAndre Ayton is really good and getting better. And Mikal Bridges is solid and turning into a good player. That's the future of the franchise. What you want to do in pro sports is pay a player based on what they will do, not on what they've done. Okay, in Hollywood, they give lifetime achievement awards. You can't do that in sports. We have salary caps. You got to pay a player for what he's going to give you, not for what he's done. Plenty of people have paid Chris Paul, including State Farm. He's fine. As the Suns players age, we talked about this. DeAndre Ayton gets paid. Booker becomes a household name and a star. Bigger shoe deal. Do they want older 37, 38-year-old Chris Paul barking at them? The media, and most media people have never owned a business, right? So they're always like, just run it back. You got to let those guys defend their title, the Phoenix won. Yeah, at a price. At a price. I'll run the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady back because his salary cap hit this year is $10.5 million. If you pay Chris Paul $28 to $32 million, it creates a different set of issues. Your bench won't nearly be as strong because you got to pay DeAndre Ayton, and you're already paying Devin Booker. So I'm not running it back just to run it back. That's not the way businesses go. And there are also instances in sports where they call it lightning in a bottle. The 2011 Dallas Mavericks. There's no reason to run it back. It was a weird roster. It didn't look like it would work. And it suddenly did, and they won. And the Miami Heat and LeBron James and D-Wade and Chris Bosh got tight, and they won. That's it. That's it. How many playoff series have the Mavericks won since then? I believe it's zero. Okay? You don't have to run everything back. I mean, remember when the Jags got to the AFC Championship with Blake Bortles? And like most lousy franchises, they freaked out and went, let's pay Blake Bortles a bunch of money. He had 23 touchdowns and 11 picks that year. He was still a C-minus quarterback. What are you doing? It was a lightning in a bottle year. There weren't a lot of good teams at the top of the AFC. The defense, because you weren't paying Bortles anything, was totally stacked. And the Jags made a big mistake. We're going to run this thing back. Nobody at that point thought Blake Bortles was a championship-level quarterback. We've had teams like that. You know, Baker Mayfield right now. They have an all-star team around him. I don't know how good he'll be this year. Baker's not Josh Allen. He's not Mahomes. He's not Justin Herbert. I don't think he's Joe Burrow. But you got an all-star team around him because you're not paying him anything. And they weren't paying anybody around Bortles. Bortles didn't make any money. So he had an all-star defense around him. So you start looking at Chris Paul, and let's be honest. There's also the buy low, sell high belief system. He's finally healthy. Everybody in the West isn't and wasn't. Kawhi Leonard got hurt. Anthony Davis got hurt. Jamal Murray got hurt. So there's a lot of things at play here for the Phoenix Suns. I like Chris Paul. I would bring him back. I would love a one-year deal. I would stomach a two-year deal. But the idea, if the Suns win, you got to bring it back. That sounds like somebody who's never owned a business. Sometimes stuff works just in a moment. How many dynasties has the NBA had? Six? In the history of the league, like six. And the dynasties now don't even last very long. We consider, I mean, the Heat are called a dynasty. 4 years, they won two titles. Aren't they really just a good team? I mean, the Warriors kind of felt like a dynasty, more so because they won before Kevin Durant. They won after Kevin Durant. It only lasts a few years. NFL really, outside of the Patriots, those things last about 3 or 4 years. The Seahawks never won a second title. So the Chris Paul component here is we may just be looking at a perfect year for Phoenix. In fact, they will not be favored next year in the West. As this series progresses, it'll be interesting to see how Chris Paul plays because I'm watching that last night and I'm thinking, there is no way if I own the Phoenix Suns, I'm giving him four or giving him three. Two I deal with.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today. So I think the NFC is much harder to predict, but this is what we do. Our NFC predictions, let's unveil them first with the NFC East. I think Washington has the best coach and easily the best defense. I'll pick them to win the division. I do worry that Ryan Fitzpatrick, I believe it's his ninth team in 17 years, will play them out of wins. He's just a gunslinger. There's very few left in the NFL that play like him, or for that matter, with a beard, look like him. But I do believe the culture Ron Rivera he's creating in the defense, 10-7. Dallas is going to be a playoff team to me at 9-8. If you look at their schedule, with the exception of a game against Tampa Bay early, I don't believe they play another playoff team till week 11. There's a lot of average defenses on that schedule, and I picked the Cowboys at 9-8 to finish second, the Giants 8-9 third, and it's really a vote for Dak Prescott. I trust Dak Prescott taking care of the football more than I do turnover-prone Daniel Jones taking care of the football. Now, the Giants have a much better defense than Dallas, but I do believe the Cowboys' offense is more grooved. They've played together now. The defense will be better. So those are go-either-way teams. I trust Dak more than Daniel Jones. The Eagles may have the worst quarterback-coaching combo in the league. We don't know, but I don't trust Nick Sirianni. It's a rebuilding mess. To the NFC North, Packers at 10-7 win it, I have pulled back for obvious reasons. This is the year of simmering resentment in Green Bay, both from the front office and Aaron. It's going to be a little bit of a reality show, the impending divorce. Minnesota doubles their wins. They fell apart physically last year. I love Mike Zimmer as a coach. They have a lot of big television games against the Packers and the Niners and the Cowboys, and you know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. He shrinks in those games, so I have him at 9-8. The Bears, I believe Justin Fields will look very good in camp. He will pop athletically in the preseason, and they'll play him week one or week two. I think it's simply asking too much, as much as I like Justin Fields, to go in and be a playoff team. Hell, look how good Justin Herbert was. Look at the final record. The Lions, not a fan of anything there. I'm rooting for Jared Goff. Don't love the coach, the front office, or the owner. Let's move on. NFC South. Tampa Bay is the clear favorite and my number one seed. I do not for a second buy into this nonsense about 17-0. Bruce Arians and Tom Brady are smart enough to know it's not about the regular season. What it's about is being fresh. This is a league of attrition. I think Bruce Arians will give veteran players weeks off, looser practices, lighter practice load. They won a Super Bowl. It's not about getting to the playoffs. It's not about perfect records. They're going to lose a game. Give up on that late and rest starters, 13-4 Tampa Bay. I'm going to give the Saints 9-8 second. Basically, I'm betting on culture, their GM, and their coach. I don't know who their quarterback is. I'd go with Jameis Winston. I don't think you can have kind of a gimmicky quarterback be a franchise quarterback. I think they're an interesting team. They were over the cap, and they had to peel back on some talent. So I think the Super Bowl window has closed for them. Carolina's still in a rebuilding mode, at least defensively. Now, I do think Sam Darnold adds an athleticism, and with DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey, they went and got the left tackle out of BYU. He'll start. They really solved a lot of their issues, but they're still rebuilding on the defensive end. But I love the coach. I love the coordinator. I love the receivers, Christian McCaffrey and Chuba Hubbard out of Oklahoma State. They will be very explosive. Robbie Anderson over the top. They'll be a big play offense. Darnold can make mistakes, but he can make plays. Atlanta at 7-10. Now, I like Arthur Smith. I thought he was a great coordinator. I have no idea if he's a head coach. This is still an egregiously bad defense. Also, Matt Ryan tends to be a guy that flourishes in the second year with a new system. Listen, Kyle Pitts, probably going to win Rookie of the Year. They're going to score a bunch of points, but they've been scoring a bunch of points for the last 3 years. They don't win enough football games. They're last at 7-10. NFC West, easily the best division in football. Rams 11-6, Seahawks 11-6. I think Los Angeles with Matt Stafford will be better in division, so I have them winning the division. Seahawks 11-6. Again, they've got some new pieces here. This is a team that wants to win a Super Bowl as well. I can see... they got some new pieces at tight end, offensive line, kind of trying to figure it out early. I have San Francisco, the mystery team in the NFC at 9-8. Now, why would I say that? You know, I think they're capable of winning the Super Bowl. I do. But I've got to hedge my bet here. Jimmy Garoppolo's recent history is he's not playing 17 games. That means you'll hand the starting role over to 20-year-old Trey Lance, who by the time the season starts has one start in a football game in 2 years. In this division, that is a huge ask. That is an unbelievable ask. I mean, Justin Fields will struggle. Try being Trey Lance against Pete Carroll and Sean McVay and getting into track meets against Arizona. I got the Cardinals at 8-9, and I like them. I really do, but I think the division's ridiculous. And... Arizona is going to be the best 8-9 team in the NFL. I'll leave it at that. So here's my seeding. Bucks are a clear number one. I have the Rams as a number two. Again, they'll be better in division than Seattle will. So the Rams are my two. Green Bay is a pretty weak three. I don't know if Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers are good now. The last play they had together, he pulled him off the field. I don't even know how that relationship is. Washington is a scary four seed because you watched them against Brady last year in the playoffs with Taylor Heineke. That defense is no joke, and they've gotten better offensively with some of their additions on the perimeter. Seattle will be an unbelievably good wild card team capable of winning the Super Bowl. I had the Browns yesterday as a five seed in the AFC. So the number one wild card teams, Cleveland in the AFC, Seattle in the NFC, are great. Those are great wild card teams. I've got Dallas. They've got a big game against Minnesota in Week 8. I think they win that game. Dak outplays Kirk Cousins. They're in as a wild card team. And I have San Francisco, who also plays the Vikings and will win. That defense will give Kirk Cousins nightmares, making it as a wild card team. So I believe the AFC is better at the top than the NFC. I think the NFC is better at the bottom of the playoffs with Seattle, Dallas's offense, and the Niners as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Kevin Clark at The Ringer had to regrettably sit through that, whatever that was just called. He is now joining us live, host of Slow News Day. All right, let's just give me two or three bullet points on what you just viewed.
So, first of all, pray for Cliff Kingsbury, because that's a coach who should be making the leap with a nice quarterback who I think could be a franchise quarterback at some point, but he's going to lose a lot of games this year. And yeah. So, yeah, prayers up for Cliff. I would say the two teams that I think you're a little bit underselling, Dallas with Dak Prescott, I really think, and I'm going to regret saying this, but we're not talking enough about how good the Cowboys can be with Dak Prescott. I mean, you were seeing in November of last year, Dak Prescott had thrown for so many yards in the beginning of the season. He was still on some top 10 leaderboards as far as total yardage and stuff like that. So I think if he's healthy, I think there's a pretty high floor there. And what they did with their draft and going defense only and getting some young athletes over on the defensive side of the ball, I think it's going to be really impressive. I would also say if Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay, they're going to win a lot of games. I joke a lot about how last year Jordan Love should have been the rookie of the year, because who had a bigger impact on their franchise than Jordan Love? Because Aaron Rodgers got so angry. Well, this is another year of Aaron Rodgers being really angry. If he shows up for training camp, and I expect him, he doesn't have a lot of options at this point. I think he will play for the Packers this year. He's going to be doubly angry. And maybe this is last year in Green Bay. They still have a great coach. They still have a great roster, great infrastructure. If he plays, he's angry. We know what that can look like. He'll be motivated. Maybe he'll be feuding with the front office during the season. I think that's a lot of wins when you factor that all together, Colin.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I really don't. I said, I don't know. Generally speaking, my theory is the NBA stars are always noisy. So you can be a noisy NBA team. Brooklyn was noisy and they were still great. In the NFL, a lot of it's choreography. It's belief in each other. Noisy teams tend to erode. They've been incredibly noisy. But to your point, they've got the best players. And Aaron plays well when he's disgruntled and unhappy. Now, you had an article yesterday detailing your interview with Russell Wilson. And I actually used it on the air because it was so funny. I juxtaposed Aaron Rodgers' snippiness and Russell Wilson's optimism. I think he used the word amazing 13 times in two sentences. Yeah. But it did feel authentic in that he does feel like he complained and they listened. And it does feel like, and he's always been like a little over the top, but that was my takeaway reading it. Like, he complained first time, they listened, and it really does matter. Like, it does feel like Pete and Russell, a little simpatico here, right?
I totally agree. The relationship is on the same page at this point. And he was in total optimist mode when we talked on Tuesday. And it's funny to me now, because now any team that gives their quarterback a say is almost taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, that's the joke around the league, that Bruce Arians is letting everybody know that Tom Brady gets all this input because he wants to maybe needle the Packers a little bit. When the Vikings drafted Kellen Mond in April, they let everybody in the world know that Kirk Cousins had been informed and was on board, because, again, that is the opposite of what happened in Green Bay and what made Aaron Rodgers so upset. And so, yeah, I think they're on the same page. And I think vibes and cohesion and chemistry is always the biggest part of Seattle. That locker room has had a lot of healthy disagreements. I remember going there when they were at their heyday. Remember, this is a franchise where there were two fist fights the week they won the Super Bowl. Okay. Percy Harvin was just going around punching everybody. And then on Sunday, they blew out the Broncos. So I think that there's it's really easy for them to get back on the same page. And I wasn't surprised when I talked to Russ, and he's in full optimist mode. He's talking about how much he loves Gabe Jackson. He's talking about the collaboration with the new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. I think that there's going to be very little problems in Seattle with that regard. I think he explored it. I think he wanted more say. I think that franchise quarterbacks, there's no way to get fair value for them at all. And so they know they're kind of stuck on a year-to-year basis if they're under contract. And so I think this is the model. You complain a little bit. Maybe you leak that you might want to go somewhere else, and you get more say in the organization. I think Russ played exactly right.
So yesterday I had the Steelers at 8-9, and I think the window's closed. And I, you know, I said snarkily yesterday, I said, you know, I'm sorry, but the fact that now Big Ben's only doing two natty lights after dinner in the summer, not six, like, spare me. It's a little late to, yeah. First of all, when I hear he's losing weight, well, why did he need to lose weight? Like, so I am being cynical on this. The news that Big Ben's in, quote, the greatest shape of his career. What was your initial impression?
Well, first of all, that's a pretty low bar to clear. But second of all, any young quarterback watching right now, whether you're in college or high school, here's my advice. Start the TB12 method in the first year of your career and not the last year of your career. It's a little too late. I think he's just totally past it. I think he doesn't have any arm strength. I think that him losing weight isn't going to matter, just because it looked like at stretches last year, he just was incapable of throwing the football in any meaningful way. And so I don't think that this is going to matter. I'm happy for him. He's getting healthy and getting healthier than he has been. But I think this is the kind of the epitome of a non-event July NFL story.
By the way, I want to go back to Aaron Rodgers, because I threw this out yesterday. The way to solve this issue is Jordan Love can play. That Jordan Love has a good preseason, and they look at it and go, all right, this is okay. Now, I don't think that'll happen. I think Aaron will play the season. Is there any scenario he's dismissive, he is difficult, any scenario, trade deadline week 8 or 9, Jordan's look pretty good, and they're just over it? Green Bay, we saw the draft room, Kevin, after they got that, you know, that story came out that you know, Aaron was ticked off, and you could palpably sense how fatigued they were. Is there any scenario in which you think Green Bay, before the deadline, would just say, this is ruining the temperature in the rooms here, we're moving off him?
It's a great question. I think the problem they face in dealing Aaron Rodgers at all is, I don't know what fair value is for a franchise quarterback, because we haven't seen it. In the NBA, we saw the Anthony Davis trade, and we kind of know what it looks like when a superstar gets dealt. In soccer, you know, you see $300 million price tags on guys, right? But in the NFL, okay, Jamal Adams or Jalen Ramsey go for two firsts, but I'll tell you what, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson are a heck of a lot more important to their franchise than those two guys, even though they're terrific players. And so I think that would change the paradigm of the entire NFL if you actually put a price tag on the reigning MVP. But no, I don't think there is a scenario. Brian Gutekunst just said the timeline hasn't changed. And I talked to him last year when Aaron Rodgers was having this MVP season. I said, does this change your outlook and your quarterback plan? And he said, no. And Jordan Love is an example of what happens when you actually do best player available. Every GM says, we're taking best player available, we're taking the number one guy on our board. The Packers actually did it, and everybody hated it, right? So I think that they like to play the long game. It's total Ron Wolf, the sort of system set up there 25 years ago. I think that they would stand pat and say to Aaron Rodgers, you're either playing for us or you're not playing football in 2021. And I do not see a scenario in which he's dealt, even in the middle of the season, even if Jordan Love is better than we think.
All right, Kevin Clark, The Ringer, NFL writer, host of Slow News Day video cast. Great seeing you as always, Kev. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Colin. Thanks for having me.
We all have heard the saying, instant gratification society. And, you know, I can see it with my kids sometimes. I want what I want. I don't want to wait for it. And a lot of it's because of the phones we have now. I find myself as somebody in their 50s that I want stuff now. And I'm hungry. I would order DoorDash. You know, there's a Mediterranean place by my house. 10 minutes, food's there. I mean, that's just the way that we work now. All these apps and all these devices and phones, you just get information when you want it. You can call wherever you want. I can FaceTime to Beijing. It doesn't matter. I can get what I want when I want. And because of that, it's made us less patient as a society. Young, old people. People always say, oh, the young kids. Not just young kids. We're all less patient because we've had these devices created that give us everything we want, from information to maps to a flight to an Uber to a meal within minutes. But Milwaukee is not a microwave. They are the oven. This is a slow roast. It's an old team. And last night's a great example. They've just put their head down and they're just powering through it. Budenholzer gets ripped. He doesn't make... they struggle early in every series, and then they kind of overcome and adjust. And Chris Middleton last night was bad early, and then he was sensational late. And then Giannis can't hit free throws. He just puts his head down and burrows through it. It's the opposite of Ben Simmons, who tried to hide on the floor. The young player. I don't want to deal with the drama. I'm going to hide. Giannis is like, no. No, I'm going to burrow through it. I'm going to get through these free throws. I'm going to be aggressive, get to the line, and it's up to me, like last night, to hit 50% of these minimum. Chris Middleton. Luka's unhappy in year three, and Zion's family's unhappy in year three, and Ben Simmons wants a do-over. And the reality is playoffs are about will and belief and determination. This crap isn't easy. It is hard. I mean, you're watching that thing last night. Just arbitrary calls can decide world champion and forgettable runner-up. Gold and silver, and nobody cares about silver. Can you name the swimmers that finished second to Michael Phelps? Nor can I. And the reality is, some of this stuff players can't even control. So you've got to be strong-willed. That's why veteran teams historically beat the younger teams. It's not just talent. You got to just meet your problems, get over them, fight through them. Middleton couldn't hit a shot last night, and he just kept shooting because he's had 150 games like that. You just deal with it and get through it. And I thought in the last 4 minutes of the game, that Milwaukee team with a bunch of veterans, Lopez 13th year, P.J. Tucker year 10, Drew Holiday year 12, Middleton year 9, Giannis year 8, I thought they just had more composure. They made more big plays, big blocks, big shots over the younger, you know, athletic sons. And that can be a series. Will, belief, determination, and an understanding you're not going to get everything you want when you want it in the playoffs. Think about how good those Kareem Worthy, Byron Scott Laker teams were. Every couple years, they were losing in the finals to the Celtics. That's the reality. And I also think these two teams understand they may not be here next year. There's no guarantees. This is not a dynasty. These don't feel like dynasties. And the intensity, like who can handle the intensity? Last night, Milwaukee, last 4 minutes, could handle it. Phoenix couldn't. That was it. That was the game last night. Like 98-94 Suns lead. Next 4 or 5 minutes, Milwaukee was great with the intensity. The old veteran players who didn't play well early in the game, who missed free throws early in the game, they just overcame it. And that is so much of the NBA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.